Our scripture today comes from a familiar passage, at least part of it. You probably know by heart. Listen to these words from John chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but the people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly and that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. What a wonderful thing to see the light. So we were singing, I thought back to when I first saw the light. Many years ago. Back in the early 80s, I saw the light for the first time. No longer walking in darkness and knowing where God was leading me was a wonderful thing. Jesus Christ came into the midst of my life and opened up a whole new world that I had never seen before. And in the midst of Christ coming into my life, guess what? The love of God was expressed deep within my heart. The love of God is expressed through Jesus Christ coming into the world. Praise be to God for that. God's love was expressed in a deep and a profound and an incredible way when Jesus came into this world, as he walked here, as he died upon the cross, and especially in his resurrection and ascension. Don't forget, all of those are part of the story of Christ. It's not just the cross, because Christ existed beforehand. Even in the very first chapter of Genesis, we find Christ already exists with God. Because God looks around and says, let us create humanity in our image. God doesn't say, let me in my image. And you see, Christ left his heavenly throne, and that's one of the things that we're studying in the book of Hebrews, is that Christ left his heavenly throne and walked here in flesh and blood. 100% human, 100% God. All combined in one person. Walking here upon this earth in a way that we would come to know God in a deep and profound way. I mean, do you hear what John writes in his gospel? Because what John writes, he says Christ came into the world to express the love of God, not the condemnation of God. We are not condemned by God. God says, I love you so much, and the relationship has been broken that I will do anything to restore it. Anything. I will even give you my son as a sacrifice to restore that relationship because I love you so much. So this happened not to condemn people, but to bring salvation and eternal life. Christ did not come into this world to condemn folks. Christ came into this world to bring salvation and eternal life. That's why. For those that preach the gospel and preach about people being condemned and you're going to go to hell, I think they've got things out of place. I know I've heard for many years that there are those who preach fire and brimstone and scare people into heaven. I don't think that's what God intended. I do not think that is what God intended for us to preach. Because as I visit and as I talk with people who don't know Christ, oftentimes if I can get right to the meat of things with them, they will tell me that they hope that God will accept them somehow, some way, because they know that they have already walked the wrong path. They already know that. I don't have to tell them that. There's something within them that tells them, I know that I have sinned. They might not use the words that we use in church, but they know it, and they hope in some way that God will see past all of that and accept them anyways. You know what they need to hear? They need to hear that in spite of who you are and what you have done, God loves you. In spite of you, God loves you. And God does not say, clean up your act and then come to me. God says, I will accept you just as you are. And once you come to accept the love of Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross for you and understand that, God says, now we will work on you learning how to live a holy life. And God's grace, oh, praise God for God's grace. Because God did not bring all my sins to me the same day I accepted Christ and say, all right, look, Tim, here's what you got to fix. God says, how about this one? Let's work on this one first. And then God says, okay, we're doing pretty good here. Let's work on this one now. And let's work on this one now. It's a process. One of the things that I have on my whiteboard in the basement where I do a lot of my exercising, it says right on the top of the whiteboard, and that's about the only thing written on it right now, by the way. It says, trust the process. I may not have a good day running, walking, hiking, riding the bike, but I got to trust the process. And it's the same way with coming to know God's love and letting God love me and work through me. It's a trust the process. God did not perfect me overnight. And many of you know that. Amen, right? Thank you, Jerry. God did not perfect me overnight. God is working. It's a process of God loving me deeper and deeper. Because you see, with this love also comes the light of God to guide and illuminate the way before us. With the love of God comes the very light of God that shows me the pathway in front of me, that helps me to see it. Now I want to let you know, it's not one of these great big spotlights that shows you the beginning of the path all the way to the end. It's a light that shows you the path piece by piece by piece. God's grace again. If God showed me 25 years ago that this is what I would be doing on this Sunday, I'm not so sure I would have said, okay, God, sign me up. It's been a process. It's been a learning process the whole time. And God continues to open up doors by shining the light to illuminate the way. We should walk in the light of God at all times, not just be at the edge of the light. I want to let you know that a lot of Christians like to be right at the edge of the light. I would encourage you to think about your life as a Christian. They like to be right at the edge of the light. Because if I step too far in the light, people can see all of my flaws. If I step too far into the light, God might ask me to work outside, do something outside my comfort zone. So, Lord, I'm going to stand over here right at the edge of the light. And when it gets a little tough, I'm going to step out for a moment. Because it's just too tough. It's too hard. It's too difficult. Oh, now, Lord, I'm having a tough time and things aren't working out. I need to get back to the edge of the light. Not many Christians are willing to step all the way into the edge, into the light. They want to play right there at that edge. I know most of you grew up at a time where it was probably similar for you as it was for me. During the summer months especially, go outside and play. When the street light comes on, come back home. Right? When the street light comes on, come back home. Because it's supper time. Which is confused in daylight saving time, by the way. Because street light ain't going to come on for a couple of weeks here until about 9 o'clock at night. I kind of like to have supper before 9 o'clock at night. I don't know about you. You know, when that street light came on, there was a place where things looked really, really good. And you get towards the edge of where the street light is, and it was dark again, right? I mean, you heard about the guy that lost something. He lost his wedding band. He was standing right under the street light looking for it. And he was trying to find it, and he can't. And somebody came up and said, what are you looking for? He said, I'm looking for my wedding band. It's important that I find it. He said, well, where did you lose it? He said, well, over there in the dark, but it's a whole lot lighter here, and I can see better. You see, when things get difficult, we want to run to the light. We want to be in the light. We want to see in the midst of the light. But when God asks us to step outside our comfort zone, we want to move to the edge again, don't we? Let me just tell you the truth. And if you don't know this truth, you will know it after today. God is always going to ask you to live outside your comfort zone. Always. Always. That's where God works. If you can do it in your own power, in your own way, in the way that you like, that's not God working through you. God is always going to ask you to step outside your comfort zone. And if you're going to live outside of your comfort zone, you really need to be in the light so that you can see what's happening and what's going on, so that God can show you the illumined path before you and you can be in the right place at the right time, doing and saying the right thing to affect someone else to come to know Jesus Christ. Why? Because God loves the people of this world. And it does not matter who the people are. It does not matter where they grew up, what they look like, who their family was. God loves them. It doesn't matter what they've done in the past. God loves them. God says, I'm not willing to condemn you, no matter who you are and what you have done. I am not willing to condemn you. I want to love you. And that's what we need to be telling people. And if we walk fully in the light and allowing God to show us, then what happens? Other people see the God that we call our Lord and Savior. What does Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? Chapter 5, verse 16. You got that one memorized, right? You should. It talks about letting your light shine. Letting your good works be seen by other people so that folks will know the love of God. Are you doing that? You see, this light provides a way for others to see God and for them to consider the steps they must take. That's what the light's about. And when we live fully in the light, then other people can see God. And they'll be able to come along with us and sing the great Hank Williams song that you already heard this morning. I saw the light. Now, maybe you didn't know that Hank Williams wrote that. But I'm thankful that he did. Because in the early 80s, I saw the light. And I saw the light because of some people who were willing to stand in the midst of the light and live their lives, allowing God to illumine the way before them and for them to walk in those ways. And then it made me consider, what steps must I take if I'm going to walk in the light? My heart's greatest desire is first for God to pierce my heart so deeply with God's love that I'll always be about living God's love, that I'll always feel it, that I'll always know it, that I will always experience it no matter where I am. And then secondly, that people will see God's light through the way I live my life. Not through me. Through the way I live my life. That they might be able to sing, I saw the light. And now I am so, what? Oh boy, that sounded like happiness. If we're not being happy about seeing the light, who's going to come live in the light with us? Because what does John say here? People are afraid of the light because when they move in the light, everybody can see their flaws, their evil perspective, their bad attitudes, the wrong things that they've done. I saw the light, and I am so glad that I did. What about you? Are you glad that you saw the light? Let's try one more time. Are you glad that you saw the light? I mean, isn't that a wonderful thing? You saw the light and God came into the midst of your life and now is illuminating the way in front of you, and all you got to do is step in the light. And stay in the light. And people can see the love of God. What does this world need? They need to know that God loves them. They don't need more programs. They don't need more people standing on street corners preaching fire and brimstone. They need to know that God loves them. And what has God brought to us time and time again? I love you. You are my beloved. And I love you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not, what? Perish, but have eternal life. John chapter 17, Jesus tells you when eternal life starts. It does not start when you die, by the way. Jesus says eternal life in John chapter 17, verse 3, is to know God. That's eternal life. And once you've accepted what Jesus Christ has done for you and the love that God is pouring into you, you're experiencing eternal life. When will we let other people see it? A couple of months ago, at the inauguration of Joe Biden, one of the most famous pictures happened. Does anybody remember the picture? Anybody remember the picture? Bernie Sanders sitting in the cold with his hand-knitted mittens by himself in a chair. I found a picture where there were two of those pictures side by side of Bernie sitting just like that. And one of them labeled on one side said, "A Pentecostal holiness person not pleased with the sermon." And the one on the other side said, "Baptists that are very happy with the sermon." And as I sit here, as I stand here watching you today, I guess you're happy with the sermon. Folks, the reason I bring that up is we need to be about the excitement that we have because Jesus Christ has loved us and come into our lives and died for us, and God is giving us a light to show us the path in front of us. Shouldn't we be excited about that? Instead of being a bunch of Baptists. I've joked with people for years when I've done ecumenical things. I can always look around the room and tell who the Baptists are. Always. If people are sitting down and they're Baptists, they're sitting on their hands so that their hands do not get involved in worship. If they're standing up, they got their hands behind them like this, holding them, clenching them, so that their hands don't get involved in worship. Folks, that's okay. But it's not okay when we move out in the world. Who wants to join a group of a bunch of people sitting around like Bernie Sanders on Inauguration Day? Hey, I'm excited about my faith. Folks, if the love of God has come into this world, and that's what this world needs to know, that God has given to the church just what the world needs. Love. And we need to be out there with excitement, showing people that love. Jerry, thank you for the song of I Saw the Light, because you can't sing that. Well, maybe somebody can. But you can't sing that sitting around like this. There's some excitement to that song. And there's a reason for that. So here's what I want to leave with you today. Are you walking fully in the light so that others can see the truth and the love of God? Are you walking fully in the light so that others can see the truth and the love of God? Don't tell me later, Pastor, that makes me uncomfortable. That's outside my comfort zone. We already solved that one. In order for God to be seen in this world, we have to live outside our comfort zones. That's when people know that God's working. When we're still living in our comfort zones, we're doing what we can do our way, not God's way. So are you walking fully in the light so that others can see the truth and the love of God? I hope that you'll take some time this week and truly think about that deeply. Because the people's paths you cross this week need to see the love and the light of God. Always. Let us pray. Asking for your grace and your mercy. We find it awful difficult sometimes to live in the midst of the light that shines in this world from your kingdom. People question it. People don't understand it. It makes us feel uncomfortable. But Lord, you've left us here to be your light, to be your love. May we step fully into the light and live the incredible excitement that you have for us, that we might see many more stream to your kingdom to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.